righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those who mourn.
check. It might be just a 10. Okay, Shabbat bring everybody. Monitors down just.
Test 1, 2.
Especially the piano. Bring the piano tad down. A little down. Piano.
Shabbat shalom.
Okay, good for now.
Shabbat shalom, everybody.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom, folks watching on live stream. Glad to have you with us today. This is Rabbi Joe, and Dawn is with us today.
Good morning.
Back from traveling the world, and the lovely Diane. And then we have, of course, the always ever dapper Mr. Anthony Cody to my left. We're going to get started here.
All right, just a little more piano. Just a tad. Happy medium. All right, that's better. You ready, Rabbi?
Yeah.
Ah, that's good. Listen to that bass. Oh, Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat 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 shalom. Shabbat 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 shalom. Shabbat 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 shalom. Shabbat shalom. Hey. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat 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 shalom.
Israel, and it's a day of joy, and we're going to rejoice with the Lord today. Amen. He says, come into the house of the Lord and rejoice with his people. And this is where we're in the Messianic congregation, so this is where his people are. And so let's be with his people, and let's be with the Lord, the Messiah, and bless him today. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natin lanu et derech hayeshua b'mashiach yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Tabernacle.
Prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. The Vishamru, page 45 in your purple siddur, if you also have it on the screen. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sot et ha-shabbat le'dorotam berit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la'sot et ha-shabbat le'dorotam berit olam. B'nei u'b'nei, b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, oti le'olam. V'shamru, b'nei Yisrael, et ha-shabbat, la'sot et ha-shabbat, le'dorotam berit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai, shemayim v'yaharetz. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, la'sot et ha-shabbat, le'dorotam berit olam. V'yom ha-shivi, shabbat v'nafash, shabbat v'nafash, shabbat v'nafash. V'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, la'sot et ha-shabbat, le'dorotam berit olam.
Children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth,
and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Would you like to have a siddur? You've got one, okay.
Offer you a thin mint, so
I just didn't know if there was one available. That's all. You don't have to use it. I just all right. Oh, shalom.
Shalom, Israel.
Israel, for Israel this morning. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, we come before you and we pray, Shalu Shalom Yerushalayim, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for Kol Yisrael, for all Israel. We pray, Lord, that you would remove the scales from their eyes. Lord, the time to favor Zion has come, and we ask, Lord, that you would remove the scales. We thank you, Lord, that you're moving amongst our people in the land, Lord, that you're moving, that from the highest levels of government to the street sweepers and the people working in the restaurants and washing dishes, Lord, you're revealing yourself to them. There's believers in the army and believers in the Knesset. There's believers all throughout the land, Lord. And we pray for strength for Prime Minister Netanyahu, Lord. We pray for his strength and protection, Lord. We pray for his cabinet, Lord. We pray for unity in the government, Lord, and stability in the government. Lord, we pray that the nation would stand against the enemy is Hasatan, but he works through people, Lord. And we pray that they would see, that they would all see that they have a life-threatening enemy at their doorstep, Lord. And there's a blindness amongst many of our people that they think they can make peace with them, and it's not going to work. So, Lord, we pray for them, and we pray for the Messianic community in America, Lord. We just lift them up today. I lift up the rabbis today, and I pray as they have their services today on this Shabbat, Lord, that you give them boldness and courage and a prophetic spirit, Lord, that they would speak prophetically and powerfully, that they would not kowtow to man, and that they would just look to you, Lord. I pray, Abba, that you would meet their needs and that you would heal them, those who need or have sickness and wounds, those who have lost loved ones and spouses this year who are struggling to run their congregations alone. They're not alone. I thank you, Father. And I pray for our people here in the diaspora. I pray for the salvation of the Jewish people, Lord, in exile. Lord, reveal yourself to them as well. Remove the scales from their eyes. Come to them. Again, the time to favor Zion has come. The time to bring your people in, Lord. It's time to bring us home, and it's time to save your people. We pray, O God, God of our fathers, Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov, and I pray for my mother every week. Lord, I pray as she's in hospice, Lord, for her salvation, that she meets you and that you reveal yourself. And for the leadership of our movement, that they would have a righteous leadership and the spirit of Eliakim would be on them, not the spirit of Shebna, but the spirit of Eliakim would be upon our executive leadership, and that you would remove the spirit of Shebna if it's in any place in our executive leadership, and help them to lead us in prophetically and be fathers to the rabbis. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. The servant of the Lord.
And now the Lord says, he reformed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
So, you loved us so.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kivod, Malchuto Leolam Vaed, V'yahavta et Adonai Elohecha, b'chol levavcha, u'v'chol nafshecha, u'v'chol me'odecha, v'hayu hadivarim ha'ele, asher enochi mitzvcha ahayom al levavecha, v'shinatam levanecha, v'dibarta baham, b'shivtecha b'veitecha, u'v'lechtecha v'aderech, u'v'shachbecha, u'v'kumecha, u'kishartam liyot al yadecha, v'hayu ha'totafot b'neinecha, u'chatavtam al mezuzot b'itecha, u'visharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house, upon your gates.
Amen. I'd like to ask Isaac and William to come and carry the Torah, if you would be so kind. Isaac can begin, and William can back him up. Anthony, would you open the ark for us? Malchutcha, Malchut kol olamim, Umem shel tacha b'chol dor b'dor. Adonai melech, Adonai malach, Adonai imloch li'olam ba'ed, Adonai oz li'amo yitain, Adonai barech et amo b'shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people, the Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen.
All right, bring my piano and the monitor up just a tad, please.
You may join in the procession if you like.
Hine matovum lanaim, shabbatim gam yavad. Hine matovum lanaim, shabbatim gam yavad. Hine matovum, shabbatim gam yavad.
No, I'm going to carry the Torah. Isaac, give the Torah to this gentleman in the black.
Gurna Adonai, via futsu hoy becha,
V'yanusu misanecha mipanecha Ki mitzion tetze tohora Ki mitzion tetze tohora Udavar Adonai Mi'Yerushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Le'amo Yisrael Bikdushato. When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel.
Amen.
Thank you. Toda rabba. Looking for it. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah. Baruch Hu et Adonai Hamavorah.
Baruch Adonai Hamrukilam Va'el.
Baruch Adonai Hamrukilam Va'el. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Hamim Benatan Lanu Et Torato Baruch Atah Adonai Notein HaTorah Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God,
King of the universe, who's
chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen. Please be seated.
Okay, today's Torah portion is Ki Tavo. It's from Deuteronomy 26. And the half Torah is Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 22. You know, and Ki Tavo means when you come. And it's and God is addressing through Moshe the Israelites when they enter into the promised land, the land of Cana, and they actually possess the land, and they begin to cultivate the land, they begin to grow crops, and they begin to build and establish settlements, that they are to bring a first fruits offering. You know, if you live within the Torah's instructions, you will become a more sensitive person to Adonai's will in your life. It will make you a lot more sensitive. And when you follow the Torah, it creates divine blessings. If you obey God's word, he will bless you. You see, we're approaching Rosh Hashanah, which it is taught that this is when God decides what your livelihood and your health for the coming year are going to be decided upon that day. But however, when we pray each day, most of us pray for health, substance, and blessings. So as God's blessings will pursue you, and they will overtake you as you pray. Because when your prayers go up, God will send down blessings to you as your prayers go up, just like with the first fruits offering. They would lift the offering up unto God. They would pray, and then God's blessings would flow down to each of the people. You know, it teaches the people to pray out at the offering. They actually took their offerings into the temple, and there in a special place, they would present them before God. And it was that the first fruits was an offering of thanksgiving. And they prayed a special prayer, and then God would bless them. You see, it also within that prayer reflects about Jacob, deliverance from his uncle Laban. And also it mentions the exodus from Egypt. Those were times when God's divine presence was felt. The first fruits was only required after the Israelites, as I previously said, had conquered the land and actually had established a place to live, and they were growing crops. And it's talking about the seven species. You see, when with the Israelites, as with believers, we are set apart. We are set apart from evil and from wrongdoing. It's only when we distance ourselves from God, we can always return to him. That's the miracle of redemption. You can leave God, but you have the ability to always return to God. And that's His blessing to you. You see, the Torah is the foundation upon the whole Scriptures. It's the basis of all of them. All the other books that have been written are the foundation upon the Torah. And the Torah, actually, in God's Word, is God speaking to each of us. We see a lot of teachers will tell you that the first fruits includes all the mitzvahs that God has in the Scriptures, because the first fruits is the offering given unto God after God has blessed the land. You know, when they were traveling the 40 plus years in the wilderness, God provided water, and He provided nourishment through the manna. He provided quail. But when they entered into the promised land, they had to work for their food. They was no longer given the food from God. They had to till the land. So the first fruits was especially important, because as God blessed their work and their labor, then they brought it unto Him, and He would continue to bless them. So that was the first fruits. It was lifted up to them, up to God, and prayed that God's blessing would come down. And just to close this Torah portion this morning, is from Ephesians 1, verse 3, that says, every spiritual blessing for believers is from Yeshua. Shabbat Shalom.
HaTorah Asher Shamoshe Lifnei B'nei Israel Pi Adonai B'yad Moshe.
And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand. Amen. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I want to welcome everyone to our Shabbat service, and thank you for coming out. We've got some special visitors with us, so I'd like to introduce Doron.
Deborah and Noam.
Deborah and Noam. Would you please stand up, and welcome to our service this morning. And they come from Chattanooga?
Zion, Tennessee, near Chattanooga?
Uldwa. Uldwa. Okay. I know where that is.
We know it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And from Jerusalem.
Jerusalem, Israel.
Hallelujah.
Ultawa, so Tennessee, via Jerusalem.
Yes.
Jerusalem via Ultawa. And somewhere in Washington, I remember. Yes.
So welcome. And it's great to have them. I think they've been following us on a little bit on internet. So anyone who's on the internet, you're welcome to come to our services and be a part here. It's really awesome. It's really awesome. Thank you for coming. And we also, I do not recognize your face. Maybe you've been before. Would you please introduce? Okay.
Welcome.
Welcome, Angela. It's great to have you. Awesome. Amen. And I suppose you're already signed up on our information, so just if anybody needs to get updated, just let us know.
I've never seen that guy in the back row there.
Freddie. Hey. I'm booming back here, so I'm not sure why that's happening. I think that the...
That's okay. Booming. Are you getting a boom?
Yeah. Maybe the monitor and some of the other voices back here a little bit too much. Anyway, we have a few events coming up, and I'll just touch on those so that you can stay up to date. First of all, we just had a newsletter go out yesterday. It's Are Your Wedding Garments Without Spot or Wrinkle? And this is an article about forgiveness and the, you know, sanctification and the fall feasts. So go ahead and take a copy out there. And if you get the email, don't forget that when you get the email, you can forward it to your friends. All you've got to do is scroll down to the very bottom, and there's a place where you can put your email for your friends and share it with your friends. And it's also going to be posted on Facebook, so that's another way that you can share and get the word out. So, give attention to that. And also, of course, we have the fall feast coming up, and we've got lots of things planned, so just be aware. This flyer here, Fall Feast Schedule, gives you all the dates and the times for our Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur services. So please make plans to come. This is God's appointed time. It's very important that we're in the house of the Lord, if it's possible to be here, you know, because this is his time. He says we're supposed to be here. So unless it's an, you know, let's make time for God. This is his time to focus on him. You know, whatever he brings forth this year is going to be different from last year. And he speaks through the things that he does during this time, prophetically and to us personally. So it's a time of revival and a time of prophetic significance. So do not miss, if you're part of our congregation, and those of you out there, we welcome you to come and experience. Also, Sukkot, we've got a special thing planned for Sukkot. Our services for Sukkot will be actually at a campground. We're doing a joint Sukkot event with New Life Baptist Church, and it's out on the parkway right close to the race track. That's in Bluff City, if you know where that is. So they've got campground available, and so anyone who wants to bring a tent or an RV, you can sign up for that, or you can just come for the services, and we'll have special music by Deborah Klein, Ian Torno. You guys like Deborah Klein?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So she's going to come and lead worship under, I think we've got a big tent coming. So we'll have outdoor services. We're going to have campfires and lots of great food. So it's very inexpensive. You can't afford not to miss it. $25 for adults and $15 for children. That's registration for the whole weekend, and includes the food. Okay. Now, if you want to have a tent spot or an RV spot, there's extra fees for that, and they're listed. It's all on this paper, this poster flyer called Sukkot and the Mountains. So come join us for Sukkot and the Mountains. We're going to have a fun time. All right? Normally we would have Oneg after services, but I think Rabbi will probably talk a little bit about that. Our fellowship hall is kind of under construction right now due to the flood, so I'm not sure what our plans are afterwards, and we'll talk about that. But pray for favor for the insurance, because we need a lot of fixing up to do in there. Thank God looks like we've found the problem, but it's going to costs a little bit of money to make sure that it's back in order. So you all know that, most of you. But out online, if anyone would want to contribute to our building fund in order to help that come along, we would appreciate it very much. And that's all I have, unless I missed something, Rabbi. Okay.
Shabbat shalom, everyone.
I just want to touch on what Don was saying about the fellowship hall. We had a flood 2 weeks ago, two floods, and essentially it's out of commission. It's dried out, and they've cut the walls about 2 feet off the ground, and they've discovered that there's a breach between the outer wall and the floor. So the dirt, you can see the dirt between that breach, and that's where the water's probably coming from, because the walls are white as snow. There's no brown, there's no green, or no mold on the walls, on the brick walls. You see this finished wall, behind this is a brick wall, and so on the brick wall there's no stain of any sort. So we know it's coming in through the ground, and it's rolling down the hill behind the building, and it's getting in through the bricks behind the building, or have cracks in them. So they're going to put a flashing over those bricks to protect it. And they're going to dig a French drain. We're going to dig a French drain, which is where they dig about 3 or 4 feet away from the building and put stones into the hole. And they put a drain at the bottom, and it drains the water away when the water comes down the hill. That should stop it. But until we get an insurance settlement from FEMA and from the from the National Flood Insurance Plan, that's where, you know, you get it through your local insurance agent, but it's a FEMA thing. We need a settlement, guys. It's been a week and a half since since the adjuster was here. I haven't heard a thing. He said 1 to 2 weeks. Please pray that we get a good settlement, and that they give us, you know, new carpets, fix the wall and the drain, give us enough money to do it, to do the work, so we can get our fellowship back. Amen?
Amen.
Our fellowship hall. So we'll get it fixed one way or the other, but please pray for a good settlement, okay? And let's see. Aja fell last night, so we're going to pray for her. She fell about 9:30, 9:45, and paramedics came. And she hit her hip, but she was ambulatory, and she was able to answer the door for the paramedics. And so I talked to the paramedics while they were there. She didn't want to go to the hospital. They said that on a scale of 10, 1 to 10, they said 3 or 4, 10 being the worst. They said it was about a 3 or a 4. You never know until they get an x-ray if there's a hairline fracture or anything. We'll just believe that she's okay. I haven't heard anything this morning. Has anybody heard anything? Okay. Maybe somebody could give her a call. Anyway, so that's the situation, but she was stable. The paramedics had her stabilized, and I want to thank the Peters family, David and Vicky, for getting on the ball, and David's a lieutenant with the fire department, and he called paramedics and sent them right over. So praise God for that. And so we got that situation under control. So anyway, that's anything else, Don?
No, I think that's all.
Okay, so we've got the fall feast coming. If you're watching and you don't understand, if you don't know about the fall feasts, they have a lot to do with the nations. And it's important. If you're not Jewish and you've never been to a fall feast, the fall feasts of Israel, if you've learned about them on TV or in teachings on YouTube or read about them in books, you need to come and experience the fall feasts, because they're not fulfilled yet. And the events of the fall feasts are not yet fulfilled completely. And they have to do with the last days, with the end time. And they have to do a lot with the nation. So we invite you to come. Bring your friends and come and learn. Also, we'll have fun too, especially Sukkot in the mountains. Looking forward to that. So, we're gonna take up tithes and offerings. Okay, we're gonna receive our tithes and offerings today. You have something to say? Okay. If anybody's making a check, if this is your home congregation, and you know what to do. But if you're visiting,
We encourage you to give to your home congregation, to give your tithe. But if you'd like to support what the work we're doing, we appreciate it. We're blessed. You can make a check to For Zion's Sake Ministries. If you're watching on the internet and you'd like to give through our website, there's a secure donate button. You can give through PayPal or by your credit card. And if you give through PayPal and you want a receipt, please email us that you gave or call us so that we can get your information and give you a receipt. Because PayPal won't tell us where you are or who you, they just tell us who you are. They won't be able to, we won't be able to receipt you, so unless we know you. But anyhow, God bless you. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these gifts. We thank you, Lord, that your word says, test me in this. Bring the whole tithe into my house, that there be food in my house to feed my people, Lord, and see if I will not pour out a blessing too big to contain, and see if I will not rebuke the devourer on your behalf. Hallelujah. If you've been rebuked, if the devourer has been stealing from you, the devourer has been robbing you of your you know, things in your life, God promises to rebuke the devourer when you bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And in Yeshua's name, may God bless you as you give a hundredfold. Amen.
Away.
morning.
Yes, praise him. Hallelujah.
Let's praise him. Hallelujah. Carol, I'm going to need a lot more. Carol. Hallelujah.
Again shall be heard in the cities of Judah and in the victory with God. Scatter the enemy with God. We'll gain the victory. God will gain the victory. Horses made ready for the day of battle. The victory belongs to the Lord. The sword and the shield and the bit and the bridle. The victory belongs to the Lord. We'll gain the victory with God. Scatter the enemy with God. We'll gain the victory. God will gain the victory. Israel, trust in the Lord. The victory belongs to the Lord. Is he not your shield and your sword? The victory belongs to the Lord. Come on, God. We'll gain the victory with God. Scatter the enemy with God. We'll gain the victory. God will gain the victory. We'll gain the victory with God. Scatter the enemy with God. We'll gain the victory. God will gain the victory. Oh, house of Israel, trust in the Lord. The victory belongs to the Lord. Is he not your shield and your sword? The victory belongs to the Lord. We'll gain the victory with God. Scatter the enemy with God. We'll gain the victory. God will gain the victory.
Alright, if God be for you, who can be against you? If God be for you, who can be against you?
The victory belongs to the Lord.
If God be for you, who can be against you?
The victory belongs to the Lord.
With God,
we'll gain the victory. With God, scatter the enemy. With God, we'll gain the victory. God will gain the victory.
Lord, you know, when we come together and we war in the spirit, which is what we just did, we was warring in the spirit. You feel that? You gotta work, you gotta beat that devil out of here. We praise him out of our midst, amen.
Hallelujah.
He hates the sound of worship, and when we join in with the Lord, it is, he hates it, and he gets up and goes. So we need to blow that shofar, clap our hands, stand up with him, and join in the battle. Hallelujah. What a great joy to be able to work with him and do his work here.
Baruch Abba Hashem Adonai.
That cometh in the
that's when I am strong. In your presence, oh Lord my God, in your presence, that's where I belong. Seeking your face, touching your grace, in the cleft of the go where the rivers cannot overflow me, where my feet are on the rock. I want to hide where the blazing fire cannot burn me, in your presence, oh God. In your presence, that's where I am strong. In your presence,
that cannot be bought. We bring you all. to the right, to the left, up or down, we only see you. We only see you. We only see you.
To the Shulchan Adonai, the Lord's table. And if you're watching and you have crackers or matzah or bread at home and some fruit of the vine, some grape juice or some anishevets, a little caramel, whatever you want to, there's actually so many of those companies now in Israel, it's gone berserk. Anyway, if whatever you have, you want to join us, prepare. We're going to go to the Lord's table. Every time you take a trip to Israel on a tour, they take you up north, and you all have to go to Israel and find out what they do up north. Deborah knows. Okay. Diane and Sharon, would you like to come in and serve today? Okay. Thank you. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. It was on Passover when Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal, the cup of redemption, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin." On that same Passover night, he took the broken piece of matzah we call afikomen. Afikomen in Greek, afikomen in Jewish. And it means that which comes later. And that it's, I don't know how it got into the tradition, but it's he broke the middle piece of three and he gave it to his disciples. And we Jews, we take it after the Seder, after the second half of the Seder, after the meal. And we take it together with the third cup of the cup of redemption. Everywhere in the world. Am I right, Noam? Everywhere in the world, Jews do this. And so he gave it a new meaning. He said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And by doing that, and he took that cup, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin." And by doing so, he changed the meaning of Passover forever, and he plugged Passover in, yes, is what he did. So we invite all believers in Yeshua, in Jesus, to come to the Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord. You don't have to be a member of our congregation. You don't have to be Jewish. You just have to be, you have to know the Savior. And if you're here today or you're watching at home, and you don't know Yeshua, let's just bow our heads for a minute. If you don't know Yeshua, just even if you're at home, you know, I don't have to see your hand, you just raise it. God will see it. If you don't know Yeshua, just raise your hand. If you don't know Jesus, okay. Now, if you would like to know him, if you'd like to establish a relationship with him, this is all you have to do, okay? The Bible says if we believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord and we confess with our mouth, then we will be saved. Amen? We believe in our hearts, we confess with our mouth that Yeshua is Lord, we will be saved. So let's do that. If you don't know him today and you'd like to establish a relationship, a connection with Yeshua. Just say these words with me. It's not what you say, it's what's in your heart. Dear God, thank you for sending your son.
Thank you for sending your son.
To clean up my mess.
To clean up my mess.
I've made a lot of mistakes.
I made a lot of mistakes.
I've messed up in my life.
Messed up in my life.
Many times.
Many times.
And I know it. And I confess it. Thank you, God, that Yeshua covers my sins.
Covers my sins.
The blood of Yeshua.
The blood of Yeshua.
Who died for me. Was buried 3 days.
Was buried 3 days.
And three nights. Who rose from the dead on the third day.
He rose from the dead on the third day.
Conquered the sin.
Conquered the sin.
In my life.
In my life.
And in everyone's life.
In everyone's life.
Forgive me, God.
Forgive me, God.
For the mess I've made.
For the mess I've made.
For the people I've hurt.
For the people I've hurt.
For the things I've done wrong.
For the things I've done wrong.
The skeletons in my closet.
The skeletons in my closet.
Put my name in your book of life.
Put my name in your book of life.
Reveal yourself to me.
Reveal yourself to me.
And save me.
And save me.
In Yeshua's name.
Yeshua's name.
Amen. 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 Well, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, please come and see me, and I have a gift for you. If you met the Lord today, if you're online, you can always email me or call us, and I'll still have a gift for you as well. So just contact us and through our website. And for everyone here, come as you're ready and receive His grace. This is a table of grace, and prepare your hearts to come. Praise God. gives me a strong voice. I always have to do double duty. I'm the rap, as opposed to the pirates who don't do anything. Oh, I'd be lost without you, honey. I would be lost without you. Thank you, ladies. L'chaim be Yeshua to life, and you didn't get any? You already did it? It's okay. No problem. You want some more? Come on, give him a double blessing. Come on, come get some more. Take some more. It's all right. Here, take a double portion. That's all right. It was. There's more cups under the cover there. Yeah. It's okay. That's okay, darling. Here you go.
Thank you.
Help yourself to some more.
Sorry.
No problem. We got plenty.
We could always use a double portion.
That's right. Double portion.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, this is double portion day.
Thank you, Lord.
L'chaim be Yeshua. To life in Yeshua. Bless the children. All right, we'd like to call the children forward, and we're going to bless them. And folks want to gather around. And Xavier and Billy, come on up, please. You can come gather around them if you want. Who are not here. We bless Xavier and Billy, Joshua and Isaac, Chan. We bless Crystal Lynn today. pray. I want us to pray for Isaac for healing. He's had a cold all week, and he's been run. Football has been having him run hard all week. He's had two games this week, three games, and we just pray for his healing, Lord. He just hasn't had a chance to get fully better. We just pray you heal his take the sickness from his body, lift it, give him rest today and tomorrow, Lord. Give him rest, complete rest, sleep, and help him to sleep it off. Take it. We command, we bind the sickness, and we command you to leave his body in the name of Yeshua. Sickness, leave Isaac. Lord, we just pray for these young ones that they would hear your voice as they walk along the road of righteousness and say, not turn to the left and not turn to the right, but stay straight on the straight and narrow path. I pray, Lord, that you prepare their helpmates and that they would stay pure. I pray for them to stay pure until that day that they find a special one, Lord. But I also pray for them that you would prepare them for their helpmates in life, and that they would be ready for them the day they meet them, Lord. I pray also, Lord, that you prepare them for their role in life, what they're to do with their lives, their destiny, that you would speak to them as you spoke to Samuel. Well, thank you, Lord, that they are arrows in our quiver. They are the beginning of our strength. They are our heritage. They are our future. And we bless them today with all the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Rachel, Leah, Rebecca, Deborah, Miriam, and Sarah. B'shem Yeshua, in Yeshua's name, amen. Sometimes we get a little late start, and Isaac's going to get the Facebook ready, right? Sometimes we get a little late start. I lost my right-hand guy this year, and we don't have as much help as we did, so we have to do a lot of it. We have to get a lot of it ready and get two kids here in the morning. I'm not blaming it on them, but it makes it more challenging, that's all, to feed people and three showers and so forth. So we apologize for those who are watching, and if we were late getting started, thank you for your grace. Amen. Okay. I believe God's got a good word for us today. And so I've been dealing, we started off about a month and a half ago talking about the blood red moons. There was a blood red moon about 5 or 6 weeks ago, and I started teaching on the blood red moon, which led me to Matthew 24, and the blood red moon led me to Matthew 24, and then when I got to Matthew 24, the Lord prompted me to start teaching on the bride and on the bridegroom, the coming of the bridegroom, and his return. And so we went into a series on the return of the bridegroom and the second coming. And we did that for a few weeks. And now, about 9 months before Donald Trump was elected president, God gave me the revelation that he was going to be elected in February of 2016. And I preached three sermons. Actually, maybe four, but I only have three recorded. February 13th, 20th, and 27th, 2016. Nine months before he was elected, a birth cycle for a baby, a human being. And in this series of sermons, I said several things. I said that the economy would take off when Donald Trump is elected. I said he would defeat everybody. He had still had about nine candidates on the Republican side, three of them on the Democrat side. I said he would defeat them all. I said that he would defeat ISIS. I said the economy would take off, which it has. It's had some bumps, but it's higher than 4% GDP. I mean, this isn't politics, folks. I'm not trying to get political. I'm just giving facts. You know, the previous administration said that the new normal of gross domestic product, and even the word gross domestic product is a globalist term, because it used to be gross national product. It used to be gross national product, and they don't like the word national. And so they say domestic product, gross domestic. But the gross national product of the United States in the last administration, I think it averaged about 2.5. It did hit 3 a couple times, but I will credit the previous administration, Obama administration, with bailing out Chevrolet and the automakers, which did help save the country and keep it going. We could have really gone down the tube. So that was one thing that I I'm not a constantly negative person. Yeah. Matthew 24, the signs of his coming and the events. The signs of his coming and the events leading up to it. Okay, so in this series, I also said that ISIS would be destroyed, and that Islamic jihadism, that the terrorist organizations like Hezbollah and Hamas would be broken. Their backs would be broken during the Trump administration. Other groups like al-Nusra, al-Shabaab, that they would be, their power would be broken because. I won't get into that today, but I said that. And that I also said that Donald Trump would work very closely with Israel. I didn't say that he would move the embassy. I said he would work extremely closely with Israel and that he would fight alongside Israel. And I believe, if I'm correct, we are fighting alongside Israel in the Middle East, and a lot of it's secret. A lot of it's kind of done in secret. It's not publicized. I said that the main threat of the Trump administration, the number one threat would be Iran's nuclear weapons. And I said that Donald Trump would have to defeat Iran, and based it all, everything that I said was in Daniel chapter 8, and we're going to probably look at some of it today. But I all based it all on Daniel chapter 8, and that Trump is the goat of Daniel 8. A lot of people have said he's Jehu and he's Cyrus and he's all these, and he is. He is Jehu and he's Cyrus, and he is Josiah and Yoshiyahu, and he is all these things. But he is also the goat of Daniel 8, the greatest of all time. Hallelujah. I wondered why the goat. I said, Lord, why is he the goat? The Lord said, he's like Tom Brady. He's the greatest of all time. I know somebody's going to hate me for saying that, but that's what I heard. G-O-A-T, greatest of all time. Anyway, read Daniel 8. You'll see. He's the guy. And the last thing he does in power, now you have to believe, if you read Daniel 8, where he destroys Iran, and the whole thing about Daniel 8 is this goat from the West, a king, and a king and a, coming from the West with his armies, and he flies over the whole earth without touching the ground, it says. And he destroys the ram, and the ram has two horns and it's Medo-Persia. Well, of course, we know in ancient times, in its context, when it was written in the time of Daniel, it was talking about Darius the Mede. Who he beat on the battlefield of Gaugamela in 331 BC. However, prophecy, I believe in the dual fulfillment of prophecy, that prophecy is a living thing, the word of God is a living thing. Shalom, folks on Facebook. Welcome. We're glad to have you today. And we're talking about the signs of what will be the sign of Yeshua's coming, what will be the events leading up to it, and what are some of the things that have to happen. And I'm talking about, anyway, so we said that in this message called The Last President of the United States, that this was written 9 months, it was preached 9 months before Trump was elected. We said that Donald Trump would win 9 months before he was elected, and that he would, the last act he would do would be to destroy Iran's nuclear weapons, that he would have 2 terms, that he would defeat Iran and destroy their nuclear arsenal, and that he would, because, now why does Iran's nuclear arsenal have to be defeated? North Korea is not so much as Iran. I'll tell you, it's dangerous, but it's not as serious as Iran. And the reason is that Iran has threatened to blow Israel off the map and just destroy Israel. They've even put, you know, they call Israel the little Satan. They call the United States the great Satan. And so we have to, God cannot allow Goliath, the Goliath of Iran, to exist. He cannot allow it to exist and to threaten Israel. Why? Because we know from reading the Bible that Israel is never blown off the map. Israel is never nuked and destroyed. You know, the only closest thing to it is the coming of the Lord when he sets foot on the Mount of Olives and there's a great earthquake and it, you know. But there's 2 invasions, Gog and Magog, and there's Armageddon. But Israel is not blown up by Iran. So if Iran was successful in that, then God's word, the scriptures, would be a lie, and it wouldn't be true. So we know that like King David of old, a United States president from the West is the only power. We're the only power in the world from the West, because it says in Daniel 8, it'll be a man. So I knew back then when I preached this in February of 2016 that it wasn't Hillary, although maybe I was wrong. I don't know. it wasn't Hillary. It was because she's a woman. And I knew that it had to be a man. And I when it said that the guy would magnify himself exceedingly after he destroyed Iran's nuclear capability, I said, that's Donald Trump. That's Donald Trump. And it was down low and partly process of elimination. I said, Mike Huckabee's not going to destroy Iran and magnify himself, you know. So anyway, that's this. If you don't have this and you'd like to get this series, it's very deep. It's a three CD. You can order it. It's a $25 suggested donation. We'll send it to you. You can just call our office and we'll send it to you. For Zion's Sake Ministries, www.forzionsake.org. www.forzionsake.org. Okay, so today's message is the disciples in Matthew 24, and let's turn there. They said to the Lord, oh, and there's one last thing that I didn't mention as we turn to Matthew 24. There's one last thing that Trump has to do, and that is help the Jewish people make Aliyah before his presidency is over. Aliyah from the West and from the Americas has not... People say that the Jewish people, and a lot of Christians teach this, that Israel has, you know, the Jews were turned home, and God established the state of Israel. And it's done. Prophecy fulfilled. End of story. Okay? And I say, hello? Don't forget me. I'm still here in Tennessee. You know, and one of the things that led me to Yeshua, one of the things that led me to the Lord, was when I read in Deuteronomy 28:63 and 64, where it says, after you worship idols and do all these terrible things among the nations, God says, you'll return to me, and I will take you back. God says, I will scatter you because of your idolatry, because of your wickedness. In Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the curses, God said he would scatter us, Jewish people, to the ends of the earth. He would scatter us to the 4 corners of the earth. And here I am in Bristol, Virginia today, and later on I'll be in Bristol, Tennessee. And this is not where I'm from. I talk funny, I look funny, and a lot of people don't relate to me. They don't like my jokes. I've gotten it all. I mean, I've been called Ribeye Joe. I've been called Robbie Joe. I've been called all sorts of things. Brother Joe, Brother Rabbi Joe. I'm like a stranger in a strange land, okay? But I love you. And the hard part is for you to love me, because Jewish people, I'm one of the easy ones to love. We're not an easy people to love. And God is going to judge the nations on how they love Israel. Amen. In Matthew 25. That Matthew 25 judgment is based on Joel 3:2, where God judges the nations, because in Joel 3:2 it says he'll bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat and he'll judge the nations because on how they treated, how they divided, because they divided Israel into they divided his land, the Holy Land, because they scattered his people among the nations, and because they enslaved us. Because they divided up the Holy Land, Israel, because they scattered the Jewish people among the nations. He's going to judge the nations for that. And because the nations enslaved us, Jewish people. And there's going to be a judgment. Many Christians are going to say on that day, "Lord, Lord, where was I, you know, when you showed up and I didn't give you water and I didn't visit you in prison and I didn't clothe you?" And I say, to the least of my brothers, if you didn't do it to them, you didn't do it to me. Depart from me, I never knew you. So love your Jewish brothers, love your Jewish neighbors, especially your Messianic ones, because there's very few of us, and don't take that lightly. If you're in this town and you get it, what I'm saying, there is no other Messianic Jewish leader in this within 100 miles of here. So if you want to connect with the Messianic community in this area, I'm all you got. You know, like I said, I may not be pretty, but I'm all you got. Okay. All right. So let's. Today's message is the sign of his coming and the events. And so, as I, one of the two last things I said that Donald Trump has to accomplish before the end of his second term, he has to accomplish Aliyah, the return of the Jewish people from America, from Canada, and from the West. I'm going to explain why. Second, number two, I'm going to, why, and the reason, number one reason he has to do that is because if he doesn't do it, who will? Right. Who will? The Democratic Socialists? Will the Democratic Socialists help the Jewish people go home? I'm sure they'd like to kick the Jewish people out of the country, of every country, but they're not going to help them go home, you know. And we found that out in Venezuela. The Venezuela test, when Hugo Chavez was president, the Jewish people were they couldn't leave the country with more than $100. They were banned from leaving the country, and if they were allowed, they could only take $100 with them. And they were persecuted. They were under Hugo Chavez, and God took care of Hugo Chavez. But the Jewish people suffered, and the world didn't know about it. And I don't know why France got the news, but Israel, the Venezuelan Jews didn't get the publicity that the French Jews got. But the persecutions were horrible down there in Venezuela. And it still are. If you're Jewish and if you can get out of Venezuela, get out. But it's coming here, folks. That same persecution that they've blown up schools in France. We're going to see a rise of the cell groups. There are cell groups, terrorist cell groups in America. How do I know this? As a Jewish business owner, I've had authorities come and visit me and tell me this, okay? I've had high-level authorities, I won't name them, they've come and they've told me that there are cell groups in our region, and they're all over the country, they're not just here, they're terrorist cell groups, they're in the country, and they are going to rise up, and some of them are rising up little by little, in places, different places, you know, the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, the Tsarnaev brothers who blew up at the Boston Marathon finish line, killed many people and maimed many people, the San Bernardino killers were Islamic extremists. There was an Islamic extremist down in Texas who did a shooting. I forget what it was, where the shooting was. And there was another one in Chattanooga. They shot up a military recruiting center and killed several soldiers, and that wounded or killed several soldiers in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So it's happening, but it's going to happen much more in this country. In Germany in the 1930s, in 1931, the press began to turn against what was his name, the Chancellor of Germany, Lord help me, come on guys, what was the head of Germany before Hitler? No. Well, there was the I believe it was called the Weimar Republic, and there was a royal line. It was a line of elite old money. What's that? Anyway, Wilhelm Kaiser, that's his name, the Kaiser. Kaiser Wilhelm was the leader of Germany before Hitler. And he was kind of weak. He was wishy-washy. He kind of let Hitler tried to take over in 1923. They jailed him. Hitler came out with machine guns in his brown shirts. They came out with machine guns and guns, and they killed people. And there was a fight between the government and Hitler's forces, his Nazi party. And Hitler's men were defeated. Hitler was imprisoned. He had a 5-year sentence. I think he was served about 8 or 9 months, and he wrote Mein Kampf. They should have hanged him, but they didn't. They let him out. And he went right back to what he was doing, and there were several groups vying for power. There were communists were vying for power, and the communists, there's not much difference between the communists and the socialists and the fascists. The only difference between the fascists and the communists, the two differences, main differences. One is, socialists, first let me explain the similarities. They both have state control, believe in state control of the media, state control of guns, not you, no gun rights for you, state control of speech, state control of education, state control of medicine, of the hospitals and medical care, state control of your job, state control in some cases of even who you marry. Just utter, total and complete control. So the fascists and the socialists were very similar in that way. The problem was that the socialists in Germany were aligning themselves with the Russians. They were following the Stalin. They were kind of leaning towards Marxism and Stalin, and they were going in that direction, following the new dictator in Russia who took over from Lenin. His name was Joseph Stalin, and so they were following the Russians, and Hitler didn't like this. So Hitler was a fascist, and he was a nationalist. He believed in the Third Reich, the German. The ultimate German nation and rule of the German people, of the Aryan nation, of the whole world. The dominance of Germany over the whole world. He was not a globalist. He was a nationalist. The National Socialist Party is what, you know, there's the Nazi Party. I don't know exactly all the words for it, what it stands for. But I know it's called National Socialism. And it was a nationalist party. The socialists were not for a German. They weren't about Germany. They were about taking over the things I said. So Hitler had to fight them. And what does that mean? So there were all these groups vying for power in Germany, pre-war Germany. Okay? And Hitler won. Hitler's group won. Okay? He defeated all his enemies. He took over the Reichstag. They appointed him chancellor in 1933. They appointed him chancellor. The parliament of the Reichstag kept silent, just like all the little lambs. Meh. They all kept silent. And what he did was he stripped them of their power. He declared himself, he began to declare himself not just chancellor, but Führer, which meant like emperor. And he declared himself emperor. And there was a mysterious fire in the Reichstag, which was the parliament of Germany. Mysterious fire blamed on the communists. Five communists were arrested and killed. And one of them was killed, at least one was killed, and blamed for burning down the Reichstag, the socialists. And then Hitler took control, and by 1938, of course, you know what happened, the night, Kristallnacht, where they broke, the night of the broken glass. And we've already seen that here in this country. Thank you, Anthony. And we're, what we're seeing, folks, in this country, we're seeing groups rising up, and they're going to start fighting each other. Even left-wing groups are going to fight each other. Right-wing groups may fight each other. And, until somebody rises up out of the hole, there's going to be blood in the... There's already blood in the streets. There's going to be more blood in the streets. Until whoever... Whatever group rises up, it's going to be a globalist group. They're going to rise up, and they're going to attain power. And the only thing stopping them right now from attaining that power is the heartbeat of Donald Trump. Yes. The only thing stopping them right now is God keeping Donald Trump alive, and that's the only thing. There's no other man who will do the job that Trump's doing. Okay, so let's go to Matthew 24 and just read a couple of verses, and then I'm going to go into prophecy with you. Okay. So today's message is the sign of his return and the events leading up to it. And it's Matthew. It's going to start in Matthew 24. Yeshua came out, verse 1, from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. And he said to them, "Do you not see these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down." As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age?" At the end of the age. And in verse 29, he said, "But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn," and that correlates to Zechariah 12:10. "They shall look upon me whom they have pierced, as a father mourns for his son, for an only son. And a spirit, I will pour out a spirit of grace and supplication upon them. And they shall look upon me whom they've pierced," he says. So that mourning connects to Zechariah 12:10. And why does he come in Zechariah 12? He comes to save Israel when she's attacked by all the nations of the earth. He comes to save Israel. And that's why he comes back. And we've discussed this over the last few weeks, so I urge you to get the last three or four messages if you want to understand this in depth. You can get them by CD. You can go on our website and watch them on the website. You can archive them. You can scroll forward to the message. You don't have to watch the whole service. You can, if you're a friend of mine on Facebook, you can watch some of the messages in the past three or four weeks. It says, "And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other." We talked about how that is the second coming. But there are several events that happen in between. And interestingly, first of all, he tells his disciples the sign of his return, and is after a tribulation, when the sun is darkened and the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky. You'll know it if you're here. Now, I tell people who believe in a pre-trib rapture, I say, I hope you're right, but hope for the best, prepare for the worst. Amen. Now, there is a way out. And the way out is Aliyah, is Exodus. Okay? And I just read in the Messianic Jewish Times yesterday that Prime Minister Netanyahu has a Messianic Jew in his low-level, he's a media officer, he's a deputy media officer in the government, directly for Prime Minister Netanyahu. He's a Messianic Jewish believer, and he's a deputy media officer. He deals with public, you know, stories from the Prime Minister that go to the media. Kind of like Sarah Huckabee Sanders, but there's deputy press secretaries. That's the kind of thing he is. Okay? How awesome is that? It's amazing. You know? And we've got some good friends in the government who are pro-Messianic, who I shall remain nameless right now. But anyway, there's, you know, things are changing. And God's going to do a miracle. And Messianic believers, Jewish believers in Jesus are going to be allowed to come to Israel and be citizens. We're going to regain our right of return. Christians are even going to be allowed. Evangelical Christians who stand with Israel and who stand with the Messianic believers and the Messianic community will be able to come back and be a part of the nation one day. It's coming. The Bible says so. And so let's talk about Aliyah. So I said two things have to happen before... now I just want to read something to you before I totally get into Aliyah and explain it. I want to just say something. 2 days after the presidential election, a local newspaper editorial read, "Tuesday's numbers paint an America divided." You know, the Bible says a house divided against itself will not stand. A house divided, or a nation, that says a nation or a kingdom divided against itself will not stand. And I wrote this 2 days after, I wrote this article called "The Divided Kingdom, Troubled Times on the Horizon." 2 days after the presidential election, a local newspaper editorial read, "Tuesday's numbers paint an America divided." American, two things became very clear. Americans are deeply divided spiritually and ideologically. And the constitutional rule of law is being threatened by the will of the people. The will of the people to just do away with law and to do it, do whatever, do what thou wilt, Aleister Crowley. Do what thou wilt. Do it. Do what feels good, what seems right. Amen? And I wrote on, people... So another term for this is lawlessness. Jude 1:18 says, "In the last time there shall be mockers following after their ungodly lusts." These are the ones who cause divisions. When Yeshua said, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation." Matthew 12:25. Israel set the biblical pattern of a nation being brought to desolation. The pattern begins with the king turning away from God, to be followed by division of the kingdom. Then comes desolation. King Solomon established this pattern when he turned his heart away from God. See 1 Kings 11. Solomon loved many foreign women. The king, like King Bill in the 90s, some would say, well, I won't go into that. But anyway, these women turned his heart toward their gods and away from the Lord. So the Lord said to Solomon, "Because you have done this, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days for the sake of your father David, but I will tear it out of the hand of your son," God said to Solomon in 1 Kings 11. The kingdom was torn out of the hand of Solomon's son Rehoboam, just as the Lord said it would be. On the surface, it would seem that Rehoboam's kingdom was divided based on the issues. And basically, this goes on to talk about the fall of this nation. And I said this 2 days after the presidential election, a local newspaper editorial read, "Tuesday's numbers paint an America divided." And I go on to talk about the fall of America. This was written in November 2000, not the last election. I found this in my home. I had written it in November of 2000. It was about the election of George Bush versus... I took out the parts talking about dimples and chads and Al Gore, and how Al Gore had conceded the election to George Bush, and then he took it back. And he fought. He went to, you know, he fought legally for the presidency, but nothing's changed. In fact, we're far worse off today. And if we don't prepare, by the way, another point I want to make is that National Security Advisor John Bolton was just in Israel, and he met with the Prime Minister of Israel. He met with the ambassadors of U.S. ambassador to Israel and the Israeli ambassador to the United States, and he met with them, and he said that preventing Iran from obtaining nukes is a top priority for the United States. Basically, I've also, from very credible former military sources, have told me that Trump's secret meeting with Putin was to ask for permission to deal with Iran and to let him put Putin on notice. We are going to take out their nukes and get, you know, get Russia, work something out with Russia to let them know we're going to deal with Iran. There may have been other things discussed, but that was on the table, that we are going to attack Iran. We've broken the treaty that Obama established with the Iranians. And so, but before the Iranian nuclear, and you read Daniel 8, I encourage you to read it. I also have newsletters, which this teach the same thing as the series on the last president, and that you can, I talked about earlier. But I have newsletters called The Last President of the United States. These are free. I'm going to give some to my friends who've come to visit today. These are prophecies that were written in May. They're based on the sermons. I'm going to give you both. And anyway, these predict that Donald Trump would be elected in many months before the election. And they predict two things, that they predict several things. The economy would take off. And I believe the U.S. economy is going to continue to thrive and flourish for another several years. I'm not a financial advisor. This is a disclaimer. I'm not an economist. I'm not a stockbroker. I'm not telling you what to do. I personally believe the stock market is going to continue to grow beyond the 26,000. It's going to keep going. I believe it's going to grow. And then at one point in time, in the next several years, things are going to tank. Why? Now I want to talk about Aliyah. And why does there have to be an economy in order for Aliyah? Why does there have to be an economy? I'm missing. Oh, here it is. There has to be an economy in order for Aliyah to take place. Why? Because we've done the math. I've met with strategic analysts. I've met with a former U.S. general. I've met with a Marine major. I've met with a congressman. I've met with some very high-level people to work this out, and we've sat down and crunched the numbers, and our strategic analyst came up with that if you take the 6.7 million Jews that were in America, this was 3 years ago, I don't know how many there are today, it's probably a similar number, but if you just take the 6.7 million Jews that when we worked out the math 3 years ago, and you took every jumbo jet in the airlines, not in the military, but in every jumbo jet in the airlines, and you flew them 24 hours. My wife's a jet pilot for an airline, by the way. If you flew those planes, so I know a little bit about jets and airplanes and airlines and things like that. But if you flew, not as much as her, but but if you flew all the jumbo jets in the airlines for 24/7, it would take 6 months to get the 6.7 million Jews. And that's not including, now, first of all, they're not all going to go back. I'll tell you that why. I'll explain why they're not all going to go back in a little bit. But if you just take that number, 6.7 million, even if Christians come too, and it would take 6 months to fly them with jumbo jets flying overseas 24/7. 777s, 747s, Airbus 880s or whatever they are, the big Airbuses, you know, it would take 6 months to fly them. If you throw in the Carnival cruise ships, which are owned by Israelis, and they have offered to help the Jewish people in a time of trouble,
It would take 3 months. If you add every Carnival cruise ship sailing filled with Jewish people and Christians who love Israel and see the handwriting on the wall and want to go home to Israel, then it would take 3 months to get them out. Okay. What I didn't see, and if you turn to Revelation chapter 12, well, actually turn to Daniel 7, then we'll go to Revelation 12. Daniel chapter 7. Okay, in the first year of Daniel has a vision. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions in his mind as he lay on his bed. Then he wrote the dream down and related it. And if you have a dream, please write it down. If you have a dream or a vision, please write it down or you'll forget it, possibly. And he wrote it down and related the following summary. Daniel said, I was looking in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. Okay, so the great sea represents the multitudes of the nations, the Gentiles, the great sea. And the four winds represent the four corners of the earth. And four great beasts, again representing the four corners of the earth, coming up from the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion had the wings of an eagle. I kept looking until its wings. Do we have that picture? Were we able to get it?
Yeah,
picture of the beast. So anyway, while they're getting that, let me read on. Coming up from the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion. He had the wings of an eagle. I kept looking until its wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. A human mind was also given to it. Okay, so there's a lion, and the lion has the wings of an eagle. Now, we know, now there's the beast, and that's actually more of the beast. That's the beast that Daniel saw. Do we have a picture of the lion? You can scroll through. There we go. That's the lion with the two wings. Daniel 7:4. Stay there for a second, please. So we see this lion in Daniel 4, had the wings of an eagle. I kept looking until its wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. A human mind was also given to it. Now let me say this. Prophetically, in the Bible, prophetically, every beast's animals, lions, bears, eagles, whatever beast we're talking about, prophetically represents a nation. Balaam's donkey didn't represent a nation. It did represent humbling Balaam, because a donkey's a humble animal. Yeshua came into Jerusalem on a donkey. You know, it represents humility. But it didn't represent a nation. Prophetically speaking, beasts represent a nation. So, remember I said, in hermeneutics and understanding biblical interpretation, you take the Bible in the context it was written. You take it in the time, in the context in which you live. Okay, let's all say that. You interpret the Bible in the context in which it was written, and you interpret it in the time in which you live. So, in the time this was written, Babylon's symbol was the lion with the two wings of the eagle. But where's Babylon today? Anybody? Gone. Ancient Babylon is gone. It's ruins. Tower of Babylon, the city of Babylon, it's the beautiful city of Babylon is ruined. It's in ruins. You know, it's gone. The Persian Empire is gone. The Roman Empire is gone. They say it may rise up again. Maybe. All the great empires of history are gone. ISIS was trying to raise back the Ottoman Empire. Gone. It's not coming back. It's not coming back. And there is a kingdom that will come, and that is the kingdom of our Lord. And that kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom. Amen. But look at this wing. So it says in verse 4 of Daniel, the first was like a lion, had the wings of an eagle. I kept looking until its wings were plucked. Those wings, folks, in the days of Daniel, was talking about Babylon. Today, those wings represent the United States. Today, those plucked wings represent the United States of America. What's our symbol? What beast is our symbol? The bald eagle, right? The bald eagle. And it says the wings were plucked. Let's read on. Number 5. And behold, another beast, second one resembling a bear. Let's go to the back to the beasts, if you could, please. Yes, that's the one. The second one, go back, please, right there, yep. And behold, another beast, the second one resembling a bear, and it was raised up on one side, and three ribs, see the three ribs in its mouth, were in its mouth between its teeth, and thus they said to it, arise, devour much meat. Well, that beast represents, I forget which country it was back in the time of Daniel, but today, in putting it in modern context, it represents Russia. Russia. And the three ribs represent three nations conquered by the bear. Now, Napoleon's army attacked in June, I think it was 1812, they attacked Russia with maybe it was close to 1 million men, hundreds of thousands of soldiers. In June, they came back in the winter of 1812 or 13, decimated. There may have been maybe 150 to 200,000 of a million man army that was killed from gun war, frostbite, cholera, typhoid, you name it. Napoleon's army was destroyed by the Russians, and he was defeated. And so that's the first one. The second army that attacked in June of 1940, interestingly, I think it was on the same day that they entered Russia, on the same day, I believe, was Hitler's army. And they thought, we'll blitzkrieg, we'll go really fast, we'll fly, and we're going to go to Moscow, and we're going to take over the Russians. They didn't know what they were in for. They got slogged down in the steppe, in the Russian, steppe, and the Russian forces fought back, and the battle dragged on into winter, and the Germans... Hitler, what happened with Hitler is he ended up taking 50 or 100,000 German prisoners, and he fed them soup with a laxative in it, with soap or something, and then he made them march through. He said, we'll take you to Moscow, and he took those German prisoners, and you can watch it on YouTube, German prisoners marching through Moscow, and they marched, 100,000 of them, humiliated. And they were going to the bathroom, many of them, as they marched. And then they had they made them clean it up. And that's how Stalin humiliated the Germans, which they well deserved when they attacked Moscow and broke their treaty with Russia. Anyway, the Germans were the second army defeated by, you see the rib in the bear's mouth. The Germans were the second army that was defeated by the Russians. The third nation, in case you don't know, what is important? What is important is things that your survival, that affect your survival. So trade wars with Mexico and Canada don't affect your survival. They may affect your prices of your milk. They may affect the prices of your bread, or they affect the prices of your cattle, your beef, things like that. But you're not going to die, okay? Things that are real serious are when you see two enemies this past week, like Russia and China, who've never worked together, joining together, 300,000 Russian soldiers, 3,000 Chinese soldiers, two joint militaries, having war games together aimed at us. Not aimed literally at us, but aimed to fight us together. Okay? China and Russia having war games. You can look that up. You can Google it on your own. Russian-Chinese war games. That's happening right now in eastern Russia. It's happening right now as I speak in eastern Russia. They're China and Russia, who've been enemies they've never been friends, are now aligning together. We're starting to see the bear, the Russian bear, and the dragon. See the dragon on the left? What nation symbol is the dragon? China. China's symbol is the dragon. And China has, but since the Chinese don't believe the dragon is real, they have another symbol. It's the panda bear. But you and I who read Revelation know that the dragon is real, and he is Satan of old. Revelation 12 tells us that. So that China represents the dragon, and that's the guy on the left there. And then, so let's read on here. And behold, another beast, the second one resembling a bear. So is it possible that we are the third rib that the Russians take out? Is it possible that America will be the third rib? You know, everybody likes ribs around here, right, Fred? Everybody likes a good plate of ribs. Barbecue is very important, folks, in the South, and it's all kosher. It's all kosher. I blessed it. Just kidding. But I get beef brisket at my barbecue place. In fact, I live behind one, and there's a barbecue place right behind my house, and they have, I get the beef brisket. It's delicious. So just letting you know, barbecue's big in the South. Come on down, y'all. Come and join us. And anyway, so the third beast, let's read on here. And I kept looking, and behold, one like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. Well, interestingly, in the time of Hitler, the leopard was the symbol of, and the eagle, I think, were the symbol of Nazi Germany. But the leopard is also the symbol today, and the symbol of Alexander the Great. It's the symbol of Iran, of Persia. The leopard is the symbol of Persia, of Iran. Okay? And now, it says in verse 6, the leopard had four wings of the bird. So, in other words, it had aspirations. It could fly. It had. It was seeking dominion, world power. Of course, the Persian Empire did control the world at one time, and I think Iran would like to do the same. And it says, after this I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrifying, extremely strong, and it had large iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and had 10 horns. While I was contemplating the horns, behold, another horn, a little one, came up among them, and three of the first horns. Now, what is a horn on a beast? A horn represents the power, the military. What do beasts use their horns for? What do rhinoceros and elephants have their tusks, and elk have their antlers? And what do they do with them? They clash. Mooses. The moose is loose. And when moose go clashing with their horns, you know, it's a weapon. So a horn on a beast is a weapon, and so the fourth beast was so dreadful in verse 7 that Daniel just didn't even know what it was, and he just freaked out. And it says, now let's stop here for a second, and let's go to Revelation 13. I'm going to get to Aliyah, I promise. Then I'm going to close. Revelation 13. We see the same beast. Remember I said a prophecy must be taken in context. Hermeneutics tell us prophecy, or the scripture must be taken in the context of which it was written and in the time in which we live, how it relates to us. Okay? So now we're coming to how it relates to us. Okay, let's look in Revelation 13:1. And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns. Oh my goodness. The last beast had 10 horns. See the 10 horns? And if you read in Daniel 7, and seven heads. On his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth was like that of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it... Oh, there he is. Ooh, that's the beast of Revelation 13. See, now, instead of separate beasts, it's a confederation. Everybody say a confederation. In Revelation 13, the beast that Daniel saw, which was four separate nations, is now... And by the way, England has an interesting symbol. The symbol of England is the lion, just as Babylon was. But England also has the dragon as their symbol. Interesting that England could be the fourth nation, along with the Russia, China, England, and then possibly Iran as the possibly Germany, but I think Iran is the fourth or the four beasts. Anyway, let's go on here. So now we see in Revelation 13, the Apostle John has a vision of the same beast coming out of the sea. Verse 1, and the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads. On his horns were 10 diadems. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like those of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his throne was great with great authority. I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. They worshipped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who is able to wage war with him? So the dragon is in Revelation 12, tells us that the dragon, if you go back a chapter, but let's just stop here and contemplate for 1 second. Look at this guy. It's confederation now. And who gives it its power? The dragon, Satan, gives it its power. But he's giving power to a nation, and the nation whose symbol is the dragon is China. China, the nation that nobody could ever invade. The Mongols could never succeed in invading and just taking over China. The Goths, the Gauls, the Vikings, all these groups of barbarians that many tried to invade China. In the Japanese War in 1905, the Sino-Japanese War, Chinese-Japanese War in 1905, Chinese, you know, they've never been defeated. They've just grown. And their threat is growing. And they have how many billion? 2 billion people? We have 300 million. They have 2 billion. 2 billion guys, and they don't have baby girls. So they kill most of the girls. They abort them. And so you have all these soldiers without wives. Noam, did you serve in the military? Would a soldier without a wife or a girlfriend be a happy guy? No. I'll just leave it at that. You have all these very frustrated, miserable, unhappy guys with no girls to write home to in the military of China. So they've got nothing better to do than kill people, right? Right. Okay, so you see the context here? Now we're talking about things to come, things that are happening. But you also notice something. See the lion? Do you see the wings of an eagle? Where did the eagle's wings go? Same beast, confederation, no eagle's wings. America's gone. America's gone in this picture. Now let's go back to Revelation 12 and see what happens here. Okay. Verse 3, then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. Sound familiar? And all his tail swept away a third of the stars and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. Well, that woman was Israel. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, and who is to rule all the nations. Actually, that was Mary, with a rod of iron. Miriam, Mary. And her child was caught up to God in his throne. We know that's Yeshua, that's Jesus. Then the woman fled into the wilderness to Egypt, where she had a place prepared by God so that there would be she would be nourished for 1,260 days. We know that the Lord, when Herod was coming after him, after he killed the babies, that Joseph and Mary, Joseph and Miriam, that they went to Egypt, probably for this length of time, I'm guessing, to hide until Herod was dead. Do you understand? Prophecy then, dual fulfillment. Let's apply it now. Let's read on. Okay, the angel Michael. And there was war in the heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war. They were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan. We see it right there in verse 9. The dragon is none other than the devil and Satan. Amen? Amen. Let me just get something to drink here. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Are you enjoying this? Okay, let's go on here. So the dragon is none other than Satan, who deceives the whole world. He is thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God. So just like in Daniel 7, the kingdom of God comes and overtakes the satanic beast thing that's going to rule us for a time, unless we get out, unless we escape. And I'm going to give you the escape route, okay? I'm going to give you the escape plan before we leave today, okay? I'm almost there. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, you who dwell in them. Verse 12, woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. When the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she... Well, oh, wait a second here. If the woman is Mary, was she ever given wings? So now, remember I said, put the prophecy in your time. The two wings of the great eagle, when John saw that the woman Israel was given the two wings of the great eagle, he was seeing, well, my bags are packed, I'm ready to go, I'm standing here outside your door, I hate to wake you up to say goodbye, I'm leaving on a jet plane, don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, America, I hate to go. That's what John saw. The two wings of the great eagle. Now, who's the great eagle? United States. United States is the great eagle, which in one chapter later, remember in Revelation 12, when we see the beast, go back to the beast, please, of Revelation 13 that you just had. There's no wings. Now go back to the jets, please. Okay, so let's read on here. So we've skipped from Mary now to Israel, to the people Israel. Okay, it says, verse 14, but the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman, Don, come on up, so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for time, times, and half a time from the presence of the serpent. When I married this young lady, she became a DC-10 pilot for a major airline, and she was a captain on a smaller regional airline when I met her, and she became a first flight engineer on a DC-10 flying 265 people overseas. She used to fly to England, and she flew to Hawaii, and she's flown many places, Amsterdam, Scotland. She used to fly to Amsterdam. And She gave it up to serve the Lord with me, and now she's back in the airlines. She just started flying people about a week or about 10 days ago. She started flying people, and praise the Lord. Let's give it up. We give a shout for Miss Dawn, First Officer Dawn Bell. We won't talk about which airline she's with, but she's with an airline, and she's doing great flying those jets. She's going to help fly our people home. And she's a type of the woman. It says the woman, verse 14, but the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman. She's not the woman. She's just a type. I've been saying this for 20 years. She's not the woman. She's a type of the woman. She's been given the two wings of the great eagle, and I know that God's going to take her. Have I been saying it?
Mm-hmm. You have.
Who here has heard me say it for many years? Raise your hands back there. Look around, folks, and you'll see the people raising their hands. I've been saying it for years. She's going to help fly our people home from the West. Thank you, sweetheart. She's an amazing woman. Praise God. She looks like she's 28, but she's actually she's my age. And I couldn't fly one of those things. But my son, he's going to fly. He's going to be a pilot. Amen. Got to keep those grades up. All right. Let's read on here. So verse 14, but the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman, not Mary, but Israel, so that she could fly her people into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for time, times, and half a time from the presence of the serpent. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth. He didn't do this to Mary, did he? So it's obviously we're talking about something else now. He poured water out of his mouth like a river after the woman so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river, which the dragon poured out of his mouth. So the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Yeshua. Who are those? Those are the messianic believers who hold to the command, to the Torah, to the commandments of God, and hold to the testimony of Yeshua. Those are the messianic believers, Jew or Gentile. Doesn't matter where you come from. Those are the ones who follow, who celebrate Torah, not observe, because nobody can keep it. Nobody keeps Torah. We all fall short of the glory of God and all have sinned. Nobody can keep it, but we keep Torah in spirit and in truth. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. So, all right. So now, what is the way out? The way out, and this is something that I believe the Lord showed me about this last President of the United States message, is that I didn't see it originally, and I've been studying this for years, 20 years. Donald Trump is going to use the United States Air Force, Navy, and military assets to not only, I've been wondering, how are we going to fly jets over hostile European countries and over the Mediterranean with Iranian subs? And right now, Russia's building up a huge naval force off the coast of Syria, a naval force. How are we going to get jets into Israel? We have to fly over Europe. We have to fly over the Mediterranean. How are we going to get them there full of Jews and Christians when the people on the ground know that Jews and Christians are in those planes? How are we going to get them there without them being blown out of the sky? Three cheers for the red, white, and blue. Da 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 da. Donald Trump, before he destroys Iran's nuclear, his last act in Daniel 8 is going to be to destroy Iran's nuclear capability. And then he'll be taken out. You can read that on your own, Daniel 8. And then he'll magnify himself greatly, it says, and then his horn will be broken. I don't know how it's going to happen. And then America's going to be broken into four separate nations in the end of Donald Trump's term. America will be broken up into four separate nations, divided into four, and there'll be weaker nations. And trust me, you don't want to be here. There'll be no constitution. And just now, how do we compare this? Now we go back to the original interpretation of Alexander the Great when he died as the Persian emperor, and he died and his empire was divided up to his four generals. Well, we know that Trump has two generals now that are big ones, that are major players. He had others. He may have more by the time he's done. Personnel changes go very quickly in the Trump administration. But General Mattis is one of his main generals, is the head of the Secretary of Defense, and then his Secretary of Staff is General Kelly, another former four-star Marine general. So he's got big generals around him. And if the prophecy repeats itself, Trump's kingdom will be divided it'll be divided up into four weaker nations. I believe there'll be military. Why will generals take over? Because I believe there's going to be such an uprising. When Trump wins the next election, there's going to be an uprising. If you thought the marches on Trump's win last January 20th, 2016, on his inauguration day, if you thought the marches the threats were bad then, wait till you see when he wins the second term. You're going to see these guys with black helmets and black shirts and sticks and whatever and gas masks. You won't see, you'll see them breaking windows, but there'll be bombs. They're learning. Well, they're taking this time now. They're training. I've seen videos of them training. Martial arts, weapons. I'm sure they're learning how to make bombs. I would not be surprised if the opposition to Trump starts blowing things up. It will not surprise me one bit. Federal buildings, whatever. They can't get close to Trump, but they'll do other things. ICE, whatever. They'll hit whatever. I'm not saying thus saith the Lord. I don't have any information. FBI, Circuit Service, whoever may be watching this. I'm just telling you what I believe, I'm getting. Okay, but the neat thing is before Trump destroys Iran, the last thing he does is he helps the Jews go home. Just like Israel is helping the Jews in France, Israel isn't big enough to help the American Jews or the South American or the Canadian Jews all get home. Israel can't do it by itself. It's too big a job. But Trump's going to, not only, I told you the statistics with the American airlines doing it and jets. I've given you that statistic of 6 months to get 6.7 million Jews home. I've given you the statistic of 3 months if you add in the Carnival cruise ships to get six. Now, let's just say 6.7 million people, because it could be Christians and Jews. We don't know who's going, but we know they're going. And I don't know if it'll be 6.7 million. It might be 5 million. It might be 10 million. But when you throw in the U.S. military into the equation, the two wings of the great eagle. Remember? Before the eagles plucked, the greatest, God gave me this in prayer and fasting years ago. He said, America's finest hour is still to come. America's finest hour is still to come. And I believe that's going to be when the U.S. military helps the Jewish people go home. When U.S. warplanes like F-35s and stealth fighters go alongside jumbo jets, when submarines are down there, when destroyers and aircraft carriers, and they're refueling in the sky and they're protecting jets taking Jews back to Israel. And God has a Goshen for us. God has a Goshen, and I'm not saying it's Petra. I don't know where it is. But God has a Goshen for his people in the land somewhere. He's going to protect his people, and he's going to protect us supernaturally. He's going to protect his people while all these terrible things go on in the world. But you have to get out. You stay here and prep, you won't make it. You'll be a martyr. You can prep till the cows come home. And I meet these rich guys. I mean, guys with jets. I meet these rich guys with jets, and they've got bunkers, and they've got guns, and they show me their 50-millimeter machine guns, and I say, Well, who's going to, if your house has 18 rooms and it's 10,000 square feet, who's going to defend, if you cut it in a triangle, who's going to defend that triangle of the house? Well, you're off with your 50 caliber machine gun. They may have two or three, you know, guys helping them. But who's going to defend the property, 50 acres? Who's going to defend it? You have to have your own army. You train up your own army to do it. These guys are fooling themselves. Building bunkers, good luck to them. People are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars and millions of dollars on preparing for Armageddon. But staying here is just going to get your head cut off. That's what I'm telling you. The dollar's going to crash. In that day, after Trump, the dollar's going to go away. The economy's going to tank. You might get 10 cents for your dollar if you stay here, if you get 10 cents on the dollar. The Constitution's going to be gone. The globalists are going to take over. They're going to take over. Trump's holding them at bay right now, but the globalists will take over. They will succeed in controlling the world. This beast system is coming in, and this is the George Soros. This is the whole... Oh, not that. If we go back to the beast, please. The beast system of the dragon and this whole thing here with the 10 horns are 10 different nations, and the lion is England, and the representing Europe, and the bear is Russia, this beast in China, and Iran. This beast system is going to dominate the world for times and half a time. Time for about 3.5 years, this beast system is going to rule the world, and the mark of the beast will come during that time, and people, God's people, will not be able to buy or sell. It means you won't be able to pay taxes, you won't be able to pay your mortgage, you won't be able to make your car payment, buy gas, go buy groceries. So, you know, prepping a little isn't a bad idea, being ready for, you know, a couple years. But God has a way out, and here it is. Long ago, when the children of Israel were just leaving Egypt, and before they even entered into the promised land, Moses spoke to them, saying, "The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood, stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God. You will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress," King James says tribulation, "in the last days, and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you nor destroy you nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore to them." I love that. Deuteronomy 4:27-31. Deuteronomy 4:27-31. He will not forget the covenant. What covenant is he saying? To bring you back and to get into the land from the brook of Egypt, the land of Canaan, of Israel, all the way to the Tigris and Euphrates River. He's going to fulfill the promise of Genesis 15, which he made to Abraham, to Avram, that he would bring us back to the land. He says it right here. He will not forget the covenant he made with us in the wilderness. He will not forget, and that's yet to come. It's happening now. It's been happening for 100 years. It's not finished. All these people who say Israel, its prophecy's fulfilled. What about us? There's a lot more than me. You just don't all meet them because there's not that many around here. Yeah, Noam came today and Deborah, but you know, we there's not that many, you know, but they're all over. You go to Chicago, you go to Atlanta, there's 500, you meet hundreds, or Florida. Go to a Messianic conference. Okay, let's read on. The Jewish people were never meant to live among the nations. God had prepared a place for us, a land flowing with milk and honey. "So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites," Exodus 3:8. Of course, God never intended for people to go to hell either. Hell is a place that was prepared for Satan and his legions, but not for man. Yet, because of disobedience to God's commandments, people choose to go to hell. In the same way, the children of Israel were scattered to the ends of the earth by choice. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15 to 20. Excuse me. Once scattered, Moses prophesied that the Jewish people would serve other gods, the work of men's hands, not the true God of Israel, who worked miracles for the Israelites as a boy. I often wondered why God did miracles for Moses, but not for us. Moses prophesied that in the end of days, during a time of tribulation, the Jewish people would return to the Lord, and he would not forsake or destroy us. The prophet Jeremiah wrote, "Hear the word of the Lord, O nations. Declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him, as a shepherd does his flock." Jeremiah 31:10. In order for the Jewish people to return, Moses declared that there must first come a time of distress, as we said at the beginning, or tribulation, which would precipitate repentance and acceptance of Yeshua, of Jesus Christ, as the true Messiah of Israel. But what kind of distress could cause such a mass repentance? Perhaps the kind of distress that occurred on September 11th, 2001, perhaps when all the nations attack Israel, and Zechariah 12. "For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief." 1 Thessalonians 5:3-4. It is important to remember that the time of distress will come upon the Jewish people while they are scattered among the nations. During the end of days, see Deuteronomy 4:27-30. God will use this distress to draw the Jewish people back to himself. The second Exodus. When the time of distress comes upon the Jewish people who are among the nations, they will begin to return to Israel, the land of milk and honey. Jeremiah wrote, "Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he had driven them. For I will bring them back into their land which I gave to their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishermen, and they shall fish them. And afterward I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain, every hill, and out of the holes of the rocks." There's your bug outs, guys. They're going to hunt you out of the holes, out of the mountains, out of the hills. Wherever you hide in the woods, they're going to come after you. And with their GPS and their night vision goggles and see-through walls, they're going to find you. And their weapons are bigger than yours. Who are the fishermen? Jesus said to his disciples, "Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men." Mark 1:17. For decades, God has raised up loving people, both Jewish and Gentile, to go out and bring glad tidings of good news to the Jewish people and tell them that their Messiah has come. People, organizations such as American Board of Missions to the Jews, now known as Chosen People Ministries, Jews for Jesus, the Messianic Jewish Alliance, other groups, many other ministries, and sending fishermen out to the Jewish people around the world. Sadly, the vast majority of my Jewish people angrily reject the gospel message of shalom, peace through the redeeming blood of Messiah Yeshua, our Passover lamb. As a result, God will be forced to send many hunters who, reminiscent of Nazi Germany, will hunt for the Jewish people and force them to flee from the nations where they have been scattered. The Jewish prophet Ezekiel wrote about the times of Israel's distress and regathering from the nations. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out, I shall be king over you. I shall bring you out from the peoples and gather you from the lands where you are scattered with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with wrath poured out. I shall bring you into the wilderness of the peoples. Hello, that's us. We're in the wilderness. And there I shall enter into judgment with you. Face to face, as I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness of Egypt, so I will enter into the judgment with you, declares the Lord God, and I shall make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I shall purge from you the rebels, and those who transgress against me, I shall bring them out of the land where they sojourn, but they will not enter the land of Israel. Thus you will know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel 20, verse 33 to 38. Brothers and sisters, I tell you, King James says God will plead with us. He'll plead. What's he going to plead in the wilderness with his people? Accept my son. Believe in my son. And the rebels, those who rebel against their leaders and against him, those who rebel will not go to Israel. They'll not be on the plains. They will not escape. Those who resist and reject Aliyah, Aliyah is sacred. It's holy to the Lord. Amen. And those who fight it, and those who resist the leaders of Aliyah in this country, and I'm involved with it, but I'm just a local guy. Those who resist Aliyah are going to be, they're going to perish here. They'll be the martyrs. If you want to be a martyr, fight Aliyah. Fight the Jewish people who believe in Aliyah. Fight us and see what you get from God, not from us. God will take care of you. Don't be a rebel. Don't get purged. Please, read this chapter, Ezekiel 20, verse 33 to 38. This passage confirms what Moses predicted about distress coming upon the Jewish people just prior to God. You know, people get so angry with me for nothing. They get offended with me. It's demonic. Over the years, people get they just attack me, and they stab me in the back. Their children may have been saved under my ministry. They might have received a great healing under this ministry, and then all of a sudden, I remember one gal years ago. I prayed over her mother. Her mother was healed of cancer. And then her mother went back to living like the devil, and she went partying for 8 months, and she got sick again. The sickness came on her again. So I went to the hospital. I led her to the Lord. Then I buried her, and not only that, the daughter lived with me for 5 or 6 months. I buried her. Didn't get a thank you. Maybe one or two thank yous from the family for doing the funeral. Prayed healing, the woman got healed, then she got sick again, led her to the Lord in her sickness. I buried her, and then the gal who we did it for, who was living with us, whose mother it was, stabbed me in the back, took the knife, stabbed me in the back, cursed me, and left. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. It's totally irrational. You know, if your kids get saved in this congregation and you get healed, God's doing something. It's not me. It's God. God's doing something. But you want to attack the rabbi as God's man, you're not going to be on that jet plane. You won't be on the plane. You'll be stuck here when Trump's gone. And you don't want to be stuck here when Trump's gone. I'm telling you that. Amen. And you won't be, because rebels, God says, it's not Joe saying, the rebels are not going to be on the plains. This passage confirms what Moses predicted about distress coming upon the Jewish people. Remember, we read that in Matthew 24. The Jewish people, just prior to bringing them back to Israel. Dear friends, please understand that if distress comes upon the Jewish people in America, and it will mean trying times for Christians too. New York City holds the largest population of Jewish people outside of Israel. The September 11th attack on the World Trade Center sparked much fear among New York's Jewish community, but such distress affects us all. Ezekiel mentions three places in the passage. The first place mentioned is the land where the Jewish people are scattered, California. God said to me about California, I got a word, my people have managed to get themselves halfway around the world from me. California is like Israel. It's got that climate, that dry desert, kind of warm, always 80 degrees, 85 degrees, beautiful sunshine, beautiful plants, and just beautiful climate of Israel in springtime and in the warm season. Get out of California, please, Jewish brothers and sisters. If you're listening today, get out of California. I tell you now. That's the first place is the where the Jews were scattered. Jewish people can be found in the smallest towns and the most remote places. I'm almost done, by the way, guys. This is my last page here. Jewish people can be found in the smallest towns and the most remote places. However, we tend to gravitate towards large cities. The majority of Jewish people in America live in urban areas such as New York City, Boston, Miami, Baltimore, Chicago, Los Angeles. Thus, we believe that the lands where you are scattered is primarily a reference to the major cities among the nations. The second place he talks about, Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 20, Ezekiel mentions the wilderness of the peoples. If the lands where you are scattered refers to the major cities, and the wilderness of the people speaks to us of the wilderness, a place that is unpopulated, or at least much less populated. The word wilderness makes me think of mountains, lakes, streams, forests, and hills. When I think of wilderness, I think of the mountains, hollows, lakes, and streams of East Tennessee, Western North Carolina, Eastern Kentucky, and Southwest Virginia. If God's brought you to this region, you're blessed. And Alaska is going to be one of the wilderness areas. I believe possibly Maine, that area up there in northern New England. Not Massachusetts, but north. There's going to be other wilderness areas in this country. I'm just not sure where they are. But I know the five-state region here, Western North Carolina, East Tennessee, not West Tennessee, East Tennessee, Southwest Virginia, maybe parts of West Virginia, and maybe parts of Southern Kentucky and Eastern Kentucky. Not so sure. The spirit's not too kosher toward the Jews up there. Not too welcoming. So, North Carolina, Tennessee. Okay. So let's conclude here. Since America's 5+ million Jewish citizens, actually when I wrote this it was 5, now it's over almost 7 million, are mostly in the cities, it only makes sense that when distress comes upon the cities, God will drive the Jewish people into the wilderness once again, where, as his word says, I shall enter into judgment with them face to face. Ezekiel 20:35. What will judgment be? Well, I said that. I like it. The King James says, I will bring you into the wilderness of the people. There I will plead with you face to face. He'll plead the gospel, and the house of Israel will be confronted with Yeshua in the wilderness. Those who accept him will be brought into the third place, Israel. Those who don't will be purged out. Rebels will be purged. Christians who don't believe this will be purged, and you'll be stuck here. You'll be stuck, and God be with you. This is the way out. As I said last month, America is one of the last remaining places on earth with a large Jewish population that has yet to give them up as Pharaoh released the children of Israel. Many, not all, Jewish people have already left Russia, Europe, Africa, parts of Asia. There are over 6 million Jewish people living in North and South America. Well, actually, there's more than 7 or 8 million. More than 5 million, well, this is when I wrote this, more than 6 million live in the U.S. alone. America is ripe for the second exodus, which Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and others foretold. Our vision, why would God send a Jewish evangelist and a DC-10 pilot wife, who's now flies another jet, to start a ministry in the wilderness of East Tennessee to remind the church that he who scattered Israel will gather him again.
Amen.
God sent us here to remind the church that he who scattered Israel will gather him again. And not only that, if you join with the Messianic community, you can go too, and you can be a part of it. And there's many scriptures that deal with that I'm not going to go into right now. But you can come and you can join. I'm not telling you to leave your church. You can come visit us. You can come and work. You can help us. Some people here attend churches and they help us with our newsletter. They support our ministry. They pray for us. We need intercessors. Pray for this ministry. We need intercessors. You know, there's many ways you can help. God does call people from churches, one from a church, two from a town, three from a city, to come be a part of the congregation. We do need that, as you can see. We need people to come. But you have to know what God's saying in your heart about that. Okay, so God sent Don and I to say to the church, he who scattered Israel will gather him again. To prepare housing for Jewish people when they come to the wilderness, to escape from the cities, to have a missionary aviation, not a missionary aviation, God showed me, an aviation ministry with real jets, not just with money. That's why it's going to take an economy. That's why this has to happen during Donald Trump's time in office. It has to happen because there has to be a strong economy. If you're going to fly jets loaded with people, whether they be Jewish, Christian, or whatever, it costs money, fuel, maintenance to fly big planes. I have a friend, he has 50 to 75, he's a broker, he's a jet broker. He owns 50 to 75 jumbo jets, and he leases them out. That's his business. And he's in Texas, and he leases out his jets to charter companies and airlines and whatever. Okay, it's big business, but it's big expense. It costs money. You have to have an economy for the Jews to leave. France has an economy, even though there's tremendous anti-Semitism and persecution of Jews in France, the economy is still there. So the Jews are able to leave and fly home when there's no economy Venezuela collapsed. People can't get out. When the economy collapses, it's too late. There will be a time when it's too late to get out. That's why it has to be Trump or it won't happen. Because I'm going to tell you, when Trump's gone, the economy's going to tank. And there will be a depression like you've never seen, like you've only read about. I read about one woman who lived through the 1929 depression. She had peanut butter and things in a footlocker, in a trunk. And she would, you know, store it up, peanut butter and things like that in a trunk. And that's what she lived on, you know. People had gardens. Okay, so let's finish. Incidentally, the Tri-Cities Airport here has a runway capable of landing a 747. We've had several presidents in recent years have landed here, including Trump, Obama, and Bush. Have landed here on Air Force One. This is highly unusual for such a small airport. We will need several large transport planes. I wrote this several. Actually, after the strategic analyst got involved, we're going to need all the jumbo jets to help, and the U.S. military to help the Jewish people get back to Israel, and many Christians who see the handwriting on the wall. We are here to raise up a generation of Corrie Ten Booms. Ten Boom was a Dutch woman whose family risked their lives to shelter Jewish people and help them get out of Holland during the Holocaust. Corey ended up with her sister in a concentration camp, and the Nazis, for their sacrifice on behalf of the Jewish people, killed several in her family. Are you willing to risk your family, Christian friend? Are you willing to risk your family's lives to take in a Jew and house and hide a Jew in a time of persecution? Would you be willing to take them in and feed them and hide them? I hope you say yes. Because how many people from Holland do you remember from World War II besides Anne Frank and Corrie ten Boom? Okay, finish up here. Many people say that they support Israel and they love the Jewish people, but love is an action, people, not a feeling. Amen. Love is an act. It's not a feeling. People say, "Oh, Rabbi Joe, I just love Israel. Rabbi Joe, I love the Jewish people. Oh, I'm so glad you're a completed Jew, brother. I'm so glad you're a completed Jew." And you know what I say to them? I say, "Yes, I am. And are you a completed Christian?"
That's it. Come on.
I'm preaching. Okay. Love is an action. You got to do something. Support your messianic ministries. Support ministries that are believers of Jewish ministries helping Israel. Support them. God will put them in your path, the ones that he wants you to support. Pray for them. We need intercessors. They need intercessors. Pray for Jewish ministry. Help them. Send help. I had one brother. We've had two floods here in our fellowship hall. One brother said to me in a football game, my son's football game a week ago, he said, "Brother Joe, I saw your floods on Facebook." He said, "I've got a team of people at my church," which is actually the church that we're in, started in, has now moved two times into much bigger quarters. And that church is going to come send a team to help us rebuild. They've offered to help us. Let's see if they do. Praise God. You know, that's the way it's supposed to be. Many people say they support Israel and the Jewish people. They love the Jewish people. How do you love us? How do you love me? How do you love Noam? How do you love us? Many of you do. Many of you here do, and I'm grateful for you. But many of you are just talking. And I'm preaching to the whole world out there. This vision calls for dedicated, committed people who are willing to give sacrificially of their time, energy, prayers, and resources to make this vision come to pass. According to God's words, it will not be the Jews who help the Jewish people to leave America. It will be the non-Jews, the Gentiles. "Behold, I will lift my hand in an oath to the nations and set up my standard for the peoples. They shall bring your sons in their arms and your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders," Isaiah 49:22. "And then they shall bring all your brothers for an offering to the Lord out of all the nations, on horses and in chariots and in litters, on mules and on camels, on jets." They didn't know what jets were then. "To my holy mountain, Jerusalem," Isaiah 66:20. When Don and I came to Bristol, Tennessee, 19 years ago, a lot of people laughed at us and thought we were crazy. "How are you going to reach Jewish people from Tennessee?" they cried. Nathaniel, a disciple of Yeshua, of Jesus, once said of the Messiah's hometown, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" John 1:46. God likes to do marvelous things in the most unlikely places with the most unlikely people. We believe that this mission will unite the Messianic community and Christians of every denomination. What can you do? First, we encourage you to pray and ask God to confirm for you what I've just said and what we are saying through his word. Don't take my word. Pray about it. Study the scriptures. It's all there. You can get the CD. You can watch this. You can go to our website and watch it. You can, many ways you can get this message and study it. Pray about it. Don't just write to me and answer me off the cuff. This is deep. So pray, please, about this. This is serious. Your life could depend on this. Your very life could depend on what I'm saying to you today. So you ask God. Second Exodus will need to have an infrastructure of tabernacles, temporary dwellings, apartments, houses, transportation ministry, security, food, people with resources, medical things, dentists, people with, you know, with planes, access. We'll have to get this whole coordinated effort to make the Aliyah happen. It's going to be a huge, huge task. It's going to require the work of thousands of people. And there's thousands across the United States who are preparing for it, believe it or not. Is this really possible? Mark 10:27 says, all things are possible with God. It was a long time ago. Dr. K.A. Paul told me that he had just was given two 747 jet airplanes for his ministry. I remember that. It was 2002. And so as this article was written in 2002. It's time to restate the vision.
Amen.
All things are possible with God. Please pray and help us prepare for the second Exodus. It's coming much sooner. It's coming during this administration. And before Trump leaves office, the Jewish people will return home. I'll stand on that. You pray about it. Don't take my word for it. I believe it has to happen in the next 5 to 6 years. And what's that? Amen. Or it's not going to happen. And if it doesn't happen till then, only very few will get out. And it's going to be trouble. So it's time to wake up, people. It's time to get with the Messianic, especially the prophetic ones, with the Messianic community, and join with us and those who walk in the prophetic. And start to move. Okay? Wake up. Get out of your box. I'm so sick of tradition and my family this and my family that and my family went to this church for the last 100 years. I left my synagogue 22 years ago, and I left my hometown, I left my house and my job to come here to minister to you people. To come to a foreign land and a faraway place, to come here. I've left everything that was near and dear to me. I left the beaches of Cape Cod that I love dearly to come down here where there is no beach to minister to you and to preach to you. And I've been here for 19 years doing it. You can give up something too. Praise God. Please stand up. I want to bless you. You get stuck in tradition and you get stuck in religion and you're going to be stuck here. That's the way it's going to be. Please don't do that. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how I shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha. V'chunecha Yisa Adonai Panav Elecha Vayasem Lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Give you shalom in the name of Yeshua the Messiah and Prince of Peace. God bless you all. Have a great Shabbat. Shabbat shalom. Love you all. And greet our friends.